With the latest in agriculture news from across the state and the country, it's Farm City News Day. And here's your host, Sabrina Hill.
Good morning. Thanks for joining us this morning for your agriculture news. Today is Wednesday, July 19th. Coming up in today's show, we hear from Kevin Kester, who's with the National Cattlemen's Beef Association, and he talks with us about several issues affecting California ranching. That's coming up later on in the show. We are going to start out this morning with Brian German.
The future success of those working in agriculture is going to be heavily reliant on the continued investment in ag technologies. Patrick Zelaya is the founder and CEO of HeavyConnect, a mobile platform that assists growers with various types of paperwork. Zelaya talked about some of the overall benefits of continuing to develop and invest in new ag technologies.
When farmers are successful, they increase their land. With increased land comes more employees, more equipment, and a larger geography that's often changing. And so complexity increases dramatically in step with successful farming.
Investment in ag tech is crucial to ensuring farmers have the tools they need to provide food and fiber to a growing market. It's important to continue to foster the relationship between agriculture and the tech industry.
The Forbes event has been about that for the last 4 years, really aligning the understanding of the technology needs in agriculture.
I'm Brian German for AgNet West.
And we go now to Taylor Hillman.
Cogeneration options for agriculture waste have been depleted over the last few years. Old trees and prunings continue to pile up. Of course, this affects a lot of crops throughout the state, but it is a problem on a much larger scale for almond haulers.
We get all of the byproduct, which is the good stuff, the hulls and the shells, which that's our revenue source, but we also get the dirt and the sticks. Dirt is going to composting and other things, filling in holes around the area. Sticks have remained a large problem without cogeneration for the sticks to go to, getting somebody in here to grind them up and take them. We have 2 years of sticks that we have not been able to do anything with.
Jeff Hamilton of Minturn Hauling Cooperative in LaGrande looked around online for some help with this issue. He found a large roll-off dumpster-looking unit used in the forestry field called an air curtain burner. The unit has a fan that flows air over the top of the open container, and that curtain of air keeps all of the particulate matter inside the blaze.
It sounds like a big blowtorch with the fan going on it, and it is very clean. If it wasn't for seeing the flame and the heat waves, you know, from a distance, you wouldn't even know that it was operating.
Western Agricultural Processors Association helped Minturn through the permitting process, which was not an easy endeavor. And Minturn has been chipping away at a 2-year-old pile of sticks at their facility.
It really was an extensive process to try and do it ourselves. There was definitely no profit in it. It was another expense, which all of this is an expense anyway. And the thing that I like about the burner is that it really is a permanent solution to the problem. You got a 98% reduction in the material by burning it and 2% ash left over.
Go to agnetwest.com for a video of the burner in action and stay with AgNet West Radio for more on the permitting process. I'm Taylor Hillman for AgNet West Radio Network.
Farmers are still feeling the pressure of a lagging farm economy. A joint survey from the American Bankers Association and the Federal Ag Mortgage Corporation confirms the pressure. Nearly 90% of ag lenders report an overall decline in farm profitability over the last year. 84% indicate there are higher levels of operating leverage as a result. The survey of 350 ag lenders showed that 60% of all borrowers are profitable, but only 54% of those same borrowers are expected to stay profitable through the rest of 2017. The degree of pessimism varies by location. Lenders in the South and West said a majority of their customers were profitable in 2016. Corn Belt lenders expect only 55% of their customers to remain in the black through 2017. Things are tougher in the Plains. Lenders in those locations expect only 45% of their customers to remain profitable through the rest of this year. A Farmer Mac analyst said the grains, cattle, and dairy sectors have been hit hardest as market prices remain at the low end of the cycle. Lenders that work primarily with poultry, vegetable, fruit, and nut farmers are more optimistic about the future. Prescription costs are rising and harming Americans, including farmers. Chad Smith has more.
Prescription costs are rising and harming Americans, and farmers and ranchers are no exception. AARP Oklahoma State Director Sean Voskel says oftentimes farmers and ranchers are being hurt the most.
People are mad. especially those in rural America working on farms and ranches that have seen such a big drop in income over the last few years. These costs really hurt. We've seen a 208% increase in prices for the most popular brand name prescription drugs from the year 2008 through 2016.
However, Voskel says there are things rural Americans can do to soften that blow.
There are things that you can do, like purchase generic prescription drugs, order them by mail, use a preferred pharmacy, or even discount cards. There are many things you can do, and we'll cover them all Thursday night on AARP Live on RFD TV.
Again, find out more about how high prescription costs are harming farmers and ranchers and what you can do to combat them on AARP Live Thursday night at 9 p.m. Central Time on RFD TV or online at aarp.org/AARP Live. Chad Smith reporting.
China's Ministry of Agriculture announced it has approved two more genetically modified crops for import into that country. A Reuters article says it's the second move in the past month to expand across biotech seeds as a part of Beijing's 100-day trade talks with Washington. The ministry approved Syngenta's insecticide-resistant corn, sold under the AgriSure Duracade brand. It also approved Monsanto's glyphosate-resistant corn, sold under the Roundup Ready brand. The approvals are good for a period of 3 years, starting from July 16th. The move brings the total number of approved genetically modified crops to four. Four other products are still on a waiting list for Beijing approval, including products from Monsanto, DuPont, and Dow. A DuPont spokesperson said the company was disappointed its Pioneer insect-resistant corn was not included. The other three on the waiting list were Dow's Enlist soybeans and two alfalfa products from Monsanto. The move comes as China promised to speed up the review process for GMO crops. While GMO crops cannot be planted for food in the country, corn and soybeans can be imported and used in animal feed products. This is Farm City Newsday by AgNet West. I am your host, Sabrina Hill. We will be back in just a moment with more agriculture news.
Better Miticide presents Might Better.
Whoa, would you look at the living space on this almond leaf, Martha?
But you know we'll need to redecorate. The color scheme is very dated.
It's green, honey. It's a leaf.
Don't let mites take up residence in your almond orchard. Knock them down fast with new Better Miticide from UPI. Better is formulated to control the most damaging mites and keep them away for weeks. To learn more, contact your PCA or UPI representative today.
Don't let fire ants ruin the value of almond crops. Get long-lasting control of fire ants and other protein-feeding ants with a steam ant bait from Valent. Worker ants carry a steam ant bait back to the queen. Once there, the powerful activity prevents the queen from laying eggs and stops existing larvae from becoming adults. With no new worker ants, the entire colony is effectively wiped out, leaving orchards ant-free for months to come. To learn more, talk to your PCA or go to valent.com/esteemantbait. Always read and follow label instructions.
Get control of flies on your dairy operation with an integrated pest management program built around Clarifly Larvicide and Starbar products from Central Life Sciences. Clarifly Larvicide offers feed-through control that prevents the emergence of nuisance flies from the manure of treated animals by as much as 96%. And Starbar features a lineup of baits, traps, and sprays that address fly problems in all areas of your dairy operation. Flies can spread disease and lead to decreases in milk quality and yields. Learn how to limit their impact at starbarproducts.com.
Healthy soil can help protect your farm from drought, improve production, and protect soil and water resources. Plus, healthy soil can lower input costs, and that can lead to a healthier bottom line for your business. Contact your local Natural Resources Conservation Service office today and unlock the secrets in your soil.
Attention California citrus growers, production managers, industry professionals. Make plans now to attend the 26th Annual Citrus Expo, August 16th and 17th in Fort Myers, Florida. The latest in citrus research and data, including advances against HLV, will be presented over a dozen seminars. More than 165 exhibitors will be showcasing their newest products, services, and technologies for the citrus industry. Don't wait, pre-register now at citrusexpo.net. That's citrusexpo.net.
Welcome back to Farm City Newsday by AgNet West. And now for the Naval Orange Worm Degree Day Report for Pistachios, sponsored by Dow AgriSciences and Intrepid Edge Insecticide. Degree days are determined using the calculator at the UC IPM website. All locations use CMIS weather stations. As of July 16th, the degree day total for Daenerys was 1,743. That's up 170 in the last 7 days. For Merced, 1,715. That's up 155. For Firebaugh, degree days 1,932. That's up 182 in the last week. For Pinoche, 1,706. That's up 161 in the last week. For Tranquility, 2,114. That's up 195 in the last week. For Parlier, 2,099. That's up 192. For 5 points, degree days, 2,282. That's up 197 in the last week. For Coalinga, 2,120. That's up 209. For Stratford, 2,097. That's up 188. Degree days for Delano, 2,025. That's up 190 in the last 7 days. For Blackwell's Corner, 1,983. That's up 205. For Lost Hills, 2,228. That's up 198 in the last 7 days. For Shafter, 2,079. That's up 182. And for Arvin, 2,291. That's up 216. NOW Degree Day reports are sponsored by Dow AgriSciences and Intrepid Edge Insecticide. This report, as well as past reports, can also be found on our website, agnetwest.com.
Well, in today's livestock news, more than 700 of the nation's cattle industry leaders were on hand for last week's Cattle Industry Summer Business Meeting in Denver. The National Cattlemen's Beef Association's Board of Directors formally adopted policy positions on issues like international trade, tax reform, and modernizing the Endangered Species Act. NCBA Treasurer Marty Smith from just south of Gainesville, Florida, was one of the many on hand for last week's meeting. Agnet Media's Gary Cooper talked with him.
Yeah, I've been fortunate to be involved as treasurer of NCBA during the time that the organization has reached probably the pinnacle of its financial well-being. We have managed to meet all of our targets for reserves. We've actually more than doubled our budget in Washington, D.C. in 3 years. You know, we recognize the need for strong lobbying efforts. We certainly have focused on that.
What are some of the major issues you guys are dealing with right now?
Well, we have a lot of different issues. When you look across the entire gamut of everything that NCBA is involved with, from international marketing, things going on in Washington, I guess, you know, the great thing today is that we now have China back open. And that's been such a push of this organization for so many years to actually achieve that. I think a lot of other things kind of pale in comparison. That's just such a great, great deal for us that we're now able to export into to the largest country in the world.
Pretty good mood going on in the cattle industry, too, about some of these issues in EPA. I know the WOTUS rule's big. We're waiting on a public comment period now. But I guess there's some debate, it sounds like, whether there needs to be a replacement or just kick it out of Clean Water Act altogether.
That is going to continue to be an issue. The good thing is we're very much involved at the forefront of the issue instead of taking a back seat and waiting on something to happen with it. You know, it's hard to predict. Ultimately, it probably will end up being part of EPA because otherwise, if we don't define it, it's going to leave it wide open for them to try to make the definition up on the fly without any other political or public input.
I could talk all day about several of the issues here, Marty, but what am I not asking that's on your mind here at NCBA that you want your neighboring cattlemen in the Southeast and maybe in California to know?
That NCBA continues to work very, very hard on all fronts for their interest. We look for their input and their help with it. Everybody that is involved in the cattle business, everybody that's involved in agriculture has a stake in this game, and they're welcome. And we like to work with them. We continue to try to build our relationship throughout agriculture with all of the ag organizations, big, small, from every part of the country.
Marty Smith from Wacohutie, Florida, National Cattlemen's Beef Association treasurer, long-standing, many-generation cattle family in Florida, and the Wacohutie name's been in NCBA before. We might remind them your mother was the first female president of NCBA many years ago.
Right, and Wacohutie is a seminal word for cowpen. Cattle have been there since the 1500s.
Again, that was NCBA treasurer Marty Smith from Florida. I'm Randall Wiseman for Agnet West. AgriView with Everett Greiner is next.
Now, the closing of Ringling Brothers and Barnum and Bailey Circus was viewed by most people as a bad day for entertainment, but a lot of people in agriculture saw it as a bad day for animal agriculture. Those close to the situation saw the pleasure of animal rights activist groups who had pressured Ringling Brothers for decades to close that show. Those same people have pressured farmers who produce the livestock that transitions to the meat that goes on our table. Poultry farmers have especially been under fire from these activist rights groups, but it goes far beyond chicken coops and eggs. Cattle and hog farmers have one objective in raising these animals: to feed us. Not everyone desires to be a vegetarian. Not everyone needs to be a vegetarian. But animal rights groups would like to see farm animals go the way of circus animals. And that's Ag Review for today. Everett Greiner, AgNet West.
In today's interview segment, our Gary Cooper was at the National Cattlemen's Beef Association summer business meeting, where he talked with California cattleman Kevin Kester.
Kevin Kester, president-elect for National Cattlemen's Beef Association.
And you're from the California area. Let's talk about that first. You'll be heard on AgNet West Radio Network, and welcome aboard, I guess, next year to represent the National Cattlemen from the state of California.
Well, hello to everybody, especially my friends out in California. I'm excited about leading National Cattlemen's Beef Association as president 2018, so looking forward to that.
You know, here we are at the National Cattlemen's Beef Association Summer Conference in Denver, Colorado right now, and a lot of issues on the table, a lot of changes in Washington, a lot of things that are good are happening, and I guess we can start with trade because that's been the big headline recently, and the Chinese markets, you know, it's about as big as it gets, isn't it?
It is. That's a great place to start with our trade issues going on. Craig Uden, the president of NCBA for this year, and I just returned from Beijing, China, to officially open the access to U.S. beef into the China market with the U.S. Secretary of Ag, Sonny Perdue, and also the new trade U.S. ambassador to China, Terry Branstad. So we had a great event, met a lot of good Chinese folks, and got them introduced to U.S. beef again.
You know, so I've interviewed a few other folks here, and I've made the point that it's sometimes a good thing to feed the folks that you have to negotiate with on other items, but expanding those beef markets and food markets around the world is a really good opening door for the U.S., isn't it?
Yeah, very much so. And but make no mistake, it's going to take a lot of work, a lot of hard work to get into China, develop those business relationships, and educate the Chinese consumer again on the attributes of our high quality and safe beef from the U.S. And so we'll do that. And it was exciting to see the big middle class and the affluency, and they got a lot of disposable income. The middle class of China is bigger than the total population of the U.S. So we've got a lot of opportunity, and I think within 2 or 3 years we're going to see some real results and a big market developing there.
You mentioned our new Secretary of Agriculture, Perdue, former governor of Georgia, and I'm very familiar with farm radio down in our neck of the woods, and Governor Perdue, but he's a real farmer, and it's going to be a breath of fresh air, I think, from that standpoint, everybody's expecting.
Boy, that you can't overstate that. Secretary Perdue, I've met with him 4 different times just in the last 45 days. Real gentleman. He's one of us. He gets it. And so I really look forward to working with the secretary over the next however many years he's the secretary.
Looking at your term coming up next year, what are your major goals and objectives? Have you penned anything out like that, or maybe major concerns that you expect to be dealing with?
Sure. We have a lot of, on the policy side of things, we have a lot going on. We've got, on the trade side, we've got, besides the China access that we've are starting to build on now, we've got to address NAFTA and the modernization of NAFTA, and we're engaged in that, and we want to protect all the success agriculture most of us have had for NAFTA. The administration has brought up South Korean agreement, the bilateral we have with South Korea, and South Korea has developed into a more than $1 billion market for U.S. beef, so we want to make sure that we are not what we're calling collateral damage, where we accidentally get hurt in our great access and successes we've had in the South Korea. So my outlook's going to be to work on and protect, and we need to work on our bilateral with Japan, being so we don't have the Trans-Pacific Partnership Agreement in effect with the U.S. government anymore. So we've got a lot of trade stuff we're going to focus on. We've got the tax reform package hopefully comes up, if not the end of this year, going into 2018. And we've got a lot of opportunities for repeal of the death tax and a host of other good tax things. And we've also got to protect some tax things that are good for us in that potential tax reform package. And then we've got the Farm Bill coming up in 2018. There's already hearings starting on that. And so we've got conservation title issues to protect programs and funding for important things for our producers and agriculture across the board, like EQIP, things like that. And we've also in some research funding that's vitally important to agriculture. Also, we've got a new ask for the USDA to create a vaccine bank for foot and mouth disease. We haven't had it in the U.S. since 1929, but I think most scientists agree it's not a matter of if, just when we suffer the damages of reintroduction of foot and mouth disease. So we want to create a vaccine bank on hand where we can, through the U.S. government, immediately react to any outbreak here in the U.S. because it will be a very serious effect on us all. So that's just the tip of the iceberg on some of the major things that I'm going to be focusing on going into next year.
You know, you mentioned that foot and mouth thing. I've had an opportunity, and we can visit on it on the side, but to get some note from some French cattlemen and some French ag reporters over there. And one year I was visiting, and they had an outbreak right before their big cattle show in the central France of an area of foot and mouth. And boy, they hopped on it, and then they did the vaccine routine. They all went to vaccines, and they got it cleaned up, and boom, it was free, and they were able to carry their show on just 2 months later. So it sounds like there's science out there that's really prepared for it, but you got to be prepared to use that science.
Absolutely, because if we're not prepared, our trading partners across the world will shut us down immediately. And so if we show that we're prepared and have a plan and put it into effect when this ever occurs, I think it'll save us billions and billions of dollars and not wipe us out as an industry.
That's one of the things I'd like to mention, too. I know down in our network in the Southeast and I know in California, this whole WOTUS rule with EPA was a big deal. You know, we're flat, really flat in most of Florida, and you know, to have a puddle on the ground to be regulated was kind of blowing some people away down there. So it looks like we're making real progress there, and whether it's going to be an option or just replacement or just forget about it going forward.
Well, we're not going to forget about it. I'm glad you brought that up because that's also a big picture item, but I think we've got a handle on that. So the Trump administration came out to formally rescind the rule, but it is the law of the land that there has to be a Waters of the United States rule. It's written in the law. So what we're doing is drafting, and we have drafted language for a WOTUS 2.0, so to speak. And so we're going to get involved with that, and I think we'll have a friendly ear from the administration. So when there is a WOTUS 2.0, that we'll be involved in it, and it will be not devastating to agriculture, and we can live with it.
Sometimes it's what I don't ask where the news really is. What have I not asked that you'd like to send a message to not only the producers in California, but the Southeast, and then through our colleagues around Farm Broadcast around the country?
Well, I tell you, so we travel across the U.S. and see producers from all ag sectors across the country. The one striking thing, regardless of how the markets, and whether it's beef or other commodities, whatever's going on that week, no matter what it is, the upbeat attitude of the U.S. Cattle producer and other sectors too. The mood is upbeat. With our change in Washington, people are optimistic, and so that's exciting because when people have a positive attitude and we need to ask and we need help from the countryside, people are more willing to be engaged, and we're going to be making asks because there's going to be things that come up in Washington, D.C. and across the world that we're going to need help on, and so we're going to ask people to join trade associations like the National Cattlemen's Beef Association, because truly being a member and paying dues into a trade association makes a true difference.
Kevin Kester, rancher from California, I believe the southeast section of Monterey County and that beautiful countryside, and appreciate your time today, incoming president of National Cattlemen's Beef Association on the next term. So good luck in your term. We'll be visiting with you along the trail. Thank you so much.
Thank you very much. Looking forward to it.
This is Farm City News Day by AgNet West. We will be back in just a moment with more agriculture news.
Better Miticide presents Might Better.
Whoa, would you look at the living space on this almond leaf, Martha?
But you know, we'll need to redecorate. The color scheme is very dated.
It's green, honey. It's a leaf.
Don't let mites take up residence in your almond orchard. Knock them down fast with new Better Miticide from UPI. Better is formulated to control the most damaging mites and keep them away for weeks. To learn more, contact your PCA or UPI representative today.
Don't let fire ants ruin the value of almond crops. Get long-lasting control of fire ants and other protein-feeding ants with a steam ant bait from Valent. Worker ants carry a steam ant bait back to the queen. Once there, the powerful activity prevents the queen from laying eggs and stops existing larvae from becoming adults. With no new worker ants, the entire colony is effectively wiped out, leaving orchards ant-free for months to come. To learn more, talk to your PCA or go to valent.com/esteemantbait. Always read and follow label instructions.
Get control of flies on your dairy operation with an integrated pest management program built around Clarifly Larvicide and Starbar products from Central Life Sciences. Clarifly Larvicide offers feed-through control that prevents the emergence of nuisance flies from the manure of treated animals by as much as 96%. And Starbar features a lineup of baits, traps, and sprays that address fly problems in all areas of your dairy operation. Flies can spread disease and lead to decreases in milk quality and yields. Learn how to limit their impact at starbarproducts.com. Attention California citrus growers, production managers, industry professionals. Make plans now to attend the 26th Annual Citrus Expo, August 16th and 17th in Fort Myers, Florida. The latest in citrus research and data, including advances against HLB, will be presented over a dozen seminars. More than 165 exhibitors will be showcasing their newest products, services, and technologies for the citrus industry. Don't wait, pre-register now at citrusexpo.net. That's citrusexpo.net.
The California Association of Food Banks Farm to Family Program helps growers and packers recoup costs for products that may otherwise go unused. The program takes secondary products or excess fruits and vegetables from the field to your local food bank and beyond. Many growers and packers receive reimbursement for picking and pack-out costs in addition to receiving a California state tax credit. Join the more than 100 growers and packers who already participate in Farm to Family. Visit cafoodbanks.org to learn more. That's cafoodbanks.org. Farm to Family. Good for families, good for farmers.
Welcome back to Farm City News Day by Agnet West, wrapping up your agriculture news for today. If you ever thought about having fruit trees in your yard, one expert says plum trees might be a good one to try first. Gary Crawford has more.
You are in the supermarket or the farmer's market and you buy some nice plums to take home, but maybe you wonder if you might could grow your own plums. Is it possible?
Yes.
Yes, well, that's good enough for me. We're out at the Agriculture Department's Farmer's Market in Washington at the Veducation Tent with Veducator Kayla Johnson. And I assume you mean, Kayla, yes, if we have the yard space and all of that to accommodate a couple of small trees, right?
Yes.
Yes, well, I can see this is going to be an interesting interview.
Yes.
Yes, okay, Kayla. Now, I've read that no matter where you live, there's a plum tree variety out there that will do well for you. So what's the first step for us?
Go to your local nursery to find the best variety for your region because there are so many different varieties.
And some people recommend that you buy two trees of different varieties because many of them require cross-pollination to produce fruit, although there are some that produce on their own. As to where in your yard to plant a plum tree?
It's going to require well-drained, fertile soil and full sun.
Try not to plant down in low areas because frost is more likely to settle down in lower places, and a late spring frost can really do damage to your plum trees when they are trying to bloom and set fruit. It happens even to professionals like Brad Warner of Warner's Orchards in Gettysburg, Pennsylvania. The East Coast had a very late freeze this year, and Brad told us,
"We lost about half of our plums this year due to the freeze. Luckily, at the tops of the trees, we didn't trim any of our plum trees this year because all of our plums are at the tops of the trees where they weren't quite as far along in the blooming stage.
And not as close to the ground, so you will need well-drained soil, not down in a hollow, and if possible, in a place somewhat sheltered from the wind, which can also cause problems for your plums. Water the trees heavily every week during their first growing season. Keep watering into mid-October so the trees got enough moisture for the winter. Now, Brad, you heard mentioned trimming. Kayla says yes, plum trees require less work and attention than some fruit trees, but pruning those trees every year, very important.
Prune your trees in the spring when they're young and in the summer when they're older. And you should follow the pruning directions depending on which variety you choose, because some of them might require a little more if the branches are a little heavier for the fruit, or some might require less.
Now, the pros do a lot more work on their plum trees because their living depends on maximizing production. So Brad Warner says,
you gotta fertilize them 4 times a year, you gotta trim them 3 times a year, you gotta thin plums because there are too many plums on a tree. They'll be on there like grapes, and they need to be about 3 inches apart so you can get good size and good color and flavor.
But as a backyard project, chances are you won't have to do everything the Warners do for their plum trees. There's a lot more we haven't talked about, but talk to your local nursery experts for the types of plum trees for your area. There's lots of online information out there, too. Plus, contact your local Ag Extension office. They can put you in touch with their experts. In Washington, Gary Crawford for the U.S. Department of Agriculture.
Andrea Farmer, the USDA official who handles the Summer Food Service Program, wants you to know that although school is not in session, there are still meals available for kids under 18 for free.
And the reason that some people might think that it's a new program is because sometimes it is still a best kept secret.
Now that you're in on the secret, how can you find out where there's a site near you?
Families can text food or comida to 877-877 and receive information about summer meal sites in their area. The service operates in English and Spanish, hence the different keywords.
That was Derek Lambert with the No Kid Hungry campaign, which runs a national texting hotline to let people know where they can go to find the meals.
When results are returned to a user, they receive information about when and where meals are available and a contact phone number for that program.
The texting program was launched in 2013. This is Stephanie Ho for the U.S. Department of Agriculture in Washington, D.C.
For more on any of the stories you've heard here this morning, visit our website at agnetwest.com. You can also find us on Twitter at agnetwest or myself at Sabrina W. Hill. This has been Farm City News Day by Agnet West, and I am your host, Sabrina Hill. Have a wonderful day.